All right, now we're going to talk about text and framework. All right. This is one of our foundational, This is one of our foundational convictions at Simeon Trust. When we talk about frameworks, we're referring to personal, our own personal set of ideas or biases that we carry with us all the time, every place we go. It's kind of the lens through which we see the world, including the way we see scripture. Now, I'm not a photographer, but I do love taking pictures. Several years ago, my husband got me a really nice camera. I carried that camera with me every place. And I had so much fun pulling it out and documenting random events with our family. Our kids hated it. But I absolutely loved it. After a while, I started noticing that the pictures were not as clear as they once had been. They were getting kind of blurry. So I thought, okay, I must have just, you know, I need to change the aperture. I need, you know, there's some setting. I just need to tweak it a little bit. But the pictures kept coming back blurry. After several really disappointing problems, or disappointing pictures, I realized the problem. In my enthusiasm to capture one of those special moments, I had apparently reached into my purse, grabbed my camera, and put a sticky finger on the lens. So the blurry pictures actually had my fingerprints all over them. And the same thing, kind of thing can happen as we approach Scripture. We bring in our own unique framework, our fingerprints, to every text we encounter. And that framework can blur our vision as we look at God's Word. As teachers of God's Word, we want to see clearly. We don't want our fingerprints or our frameworks to blur the picture. Everyone has a framework. It's not a bad thing. It's just reality. Some frameworks are better than others, and they're always changing. The pressures of culture, of family, of different experiences, they're all constantly shaping our lens through which we see the world. Some of our frameworks are simply our reality, right? I mean, we see the world through the eyes of women. That's different than men, all right? We, most of us, live in the United States, okay? That's a different framework. We live in the 21st century, another framework. It's just reality. It's not bad. It's just reality. And often our frameworks can be really, really, really helpful. As Bible teachers, our theological frameworks can sometimes protect us from going off the rails, especially when we come up against really hard questions. But none of us is free of a framework. So our goal as Christians is to have our frameworks constantly being shaped by God's Word, and but through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we grow in our understanding of who God is and of our own sinfulness, that shapes our framework. So this principle is going to help us recognize those areas in which our frameworks are not in line with the truths of God's Word. So here's the principle. We must let the Bible shape our frameworks rather than letting our frameworks shape our interpretation of the Bible. As we approach God's Word, we need to be sure that we are allowing the text, we want the text to rule over our framework. All right. What's tempting for all of us to do is to allow our framework to rule over the text. But we don't want this. All right. I'm just thinking through different frameworks. There are a lot of frameworks. Once again, none of us has a perfect framework. There are, but let's just talk about what some of these frameworks look like. So what are some of the frameworks that you are aware of in your own life? Or in the lives of the women or individuals in your ministry? What are some frameworks? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also from Illinois.
Oh, yay, welcome. Okay.
Oh.
Yes. Praise God that you've been able to see grace now. That's awesome. I love that. But that certainly, that would be a framework through which you saw, a lens through which you saw Scripture for all of those years. Good. So our doctrinal. So are there other frameworks underneath doctrine? So we have Catholicism or Protestantism. Reformed theology is a big one, isn't it? Yep, that's a huge framework that, yeah. And it's, once again, frameworks can be so helpful, but they can also at the same time cause us to see things that not always clearly. What else? What are some other frameworks?
American individualism.
Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Yep, that is a huge one. What else?
Cultural influences.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask, these are so great. I'm going to ask you to get together with your people and your table, okay? And I want you to come up with a couple of frameworks that you see in your own lives and a couple of frameworks that you deal with in your ministry. So take just 2 minutes. I should warn you. This is our first. The women at your table are going to be your best friends, okay? You are going to be you're going to love these women because you're going to work together over and over and over. I will just say one quick word about that. Tomorrow at each session, mix it up. Don't sit with the same people, okay? So I know for some of you social people, you're like, yay, I get to meet more people. And for some of you, you're like, I have to leave my best friend. But it's okay. You're going to find another best friend. I mean, another good friend. You won't have to replace friend. Okay. So anyway, just get together with the women at your table. Answer these questions. Frameworks that you deal with in your life that you recognize. Frameworks in your ministries. Okay? You got 2 minutes, so you're going to have to talk fast. Okay, ladies. All right. We're going to call back together. I love this because I can tell... See, they're not that scary, are they? It's awesome. Yeah, we can like really connect. I love to hear all these voices. All right, so what were some of the frameworks that you were able to identify that we haven't already talked about in your own lives? What were some frameworks in your own lives that you were able to identify?
Family.
Yes, that is a huge one. You're right, family's a big one. All right, what else?
Socioeconomic,
okay. What about in your audience, in your church? What are some of the other frameworks, some other ones that you talked about? Okay. So, I'm trying to think of a broad category for that. So maybe, would that be, fall under
life stage?
Okay. Life stage, but there's also more to that too. Yeah. Life stage is definitely one. Maybe, how about experiential? Does that bring it all together? My experience as a mom, or R-E-N-C-I, I cannot think and write at the same time, or talk at the same time. Experiential, okay. Those are powerful frameworks in our world, for sure. What else?
I deal a lot with homeschool and public school kids.
Okay. So that kind of can fall under family, maybe, kind of some of those, how do you adjust, how do you see your family, the responsibilities of the family, how does all that, yeah, absolutely, that's, yeah.
This is super broad, but like the paradigm of like guilt, innocence, shame, honor, and like power, fear of like different cultures and how they like respond.
Yes, yes, guilt, innocence, what else did you say?
Oh, guilt, innocence, shame, honor.
Shame, honor.
Fear.
Yeah. So maybe cultural. We could follow that. Can we maybe put that all under cultural? I'm not really sure, but I think that some of that is depending on cultures. They have those different biases. What about
education?
Education. That's another one. Huge one. Okay. Educational. How about social justice? How about you guys? COVID. has really highlighted this framework. And people are all across the board. We're not going to go there. But it's a reality on where Christians have had to deal with that framework. All right. This gives you the idea. There are so many frameworks. We are just steeped in so many of them all the time. We don't even realize it. And once again, they're not bad. The more that our frameworks are shaped by God's word, the more protection we're going to have. Okay. I really want to have some time for a lot more of this, but we're going to keep moving here. What happens when we try to shape God's word to fit into our framework rather than allowing God's word to shape our framework? What happens when our framework is ruling over the text? What does that look like?
You use the Bible to prove your point.
Exactly. Oh, Sue, thank you. There's a picture for this. Once again, this is not my forte, but it's okay. I'm going to do my best. I know that looks like a shower. It's not. that's a lamp post. And then here is the Bible teacher. Told you it's not my forte. All right. Anyway, this is a teacher who uses the lamp post to hold her up in the same way that a drunken man uses a lamppost more for support than illumination. So it's not really what the lamppost is there for. It's supposed to provide light, right? But he's used to using it to support himself. So we can find ourselves sometimes leaning on the Bible for what we want to do, what we want it to say, rather than what it actually says. But we want to use Scripture for its intended purpose. We want to use it, in this example, as the light for the illumination. Now, all of us as Bible teachers at one time or another will find ourselves leaning on the lamppost. So let's just look at a quick example together. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Whoever gets there first, would you just read it really loudly for us? 2 Timothy 3, 1. Okay, some of you are there. I know. I can see. All right.
2 Timothy 3:1.
Yeah. Would somebody read it for us?
I'll read it.
Awesome. Thank you.
But understand this: in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Is that it?
Yep. That's it. Understand this: in the last days, there will come. Yes. That's all you need to. That's all you need to read.
I'm done.
Yeah. Thank you for reading. Okay. Just that one verse. Okay. What framework might we bring to this text? Yeah. Yeah, eschatology, the end times. What exactly is Paul talking about when he talks about the last days? So depending on our framework, we're going to understand Paul's words, last days, very differently, right? So that's just a quick example. Can you see in 1 Timothy, just in that one verse, how our framework would change how we see that? Does that make sense? Okay, let's keep going. What are some warning signs that we can look in our ministry, evaluate our ministry? What would it look like if our ministry is shaped by our framework instead of by God's word? Yeah.
I think I see red flags in my own when all of the people I'm ministering to start looking like me.
Yes, when everybody starts to just kind of fall into the same bucket in all of our thinking as opposed to pressing into Scripture. That's a great one. I hadn't thought about that one. That's a really good one. What else? What are some others? That's a really good one.
Soap boxes.
So, isn't that the soap boxes? Yes, we have our issues, our favorite issues, and we want to use them all the time. We want to talk about everything. Everything in Scripture has something to do with whether or not you should homeschool. Right? I mean, I'm not. I mean,
well,
exactly. I mean, I'm not saying anything about homeschooling except that it's just one of those examples of we can see it. We're looking for it. We see it everywhere. All right. What else? What are some other warning signs? What else might that look like? Sure. So we're shaping our world by the culture. Yeah, Amy, what were you saying?
We never find ourselves challenged by what we're reading. It always seems to be confirming.
Yes. So maybe we're just teaching our favorite books of the Bible. So let's think about that. Open your Bibles to James. Would someone read James 2, 14 to 17? Great. Okay. Thank you. How would someone with a social justice framework interpret that passage?
If you aren't doing stuff for people, then you can't be a believer.
Yep. Exactly. Okay. So then they're going to lean into the works part in a big way, right? Okay. So somebody else read Romans 3, 27 and 28. So what's that same person going to do when they come to this passage in Romans? Ignore it. What's that?
Glaze over it.
Glaze over it? Yep, exactly. That's going to make them uncomfortable, isn't it? And so if that same person is tasked with choosing a book for Bible study, what are they going to choose? James every time. And I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I love that. I love this message in this book. We got to go there. And so we've got to push. Part of this is understanding when we see it, we got to push ourselves out of that tendency, push into the books that are, not necessarily our favorite. Maybe that we don't even know how to, we don't really know how to process it. Because when we lean into sometimes when we lean into verses without really carefully examining the text, what can happen is we can begin to kind of explain it away, right? We can say, well, James doesn't really mean that, or Paul doesn't really mean that, or just read it really fast and hope nobody's listening. So we want to dive in and actually allow the text to say what it is saying to rule over our frameworks, because we want to be transformed by the entire counsel of God. All right, so we need to talk about strategies. What are some strategies that we can use to help us step outside of these biases that we carry with us? What can we do?
Study the Bible in community.
I love that. Bible studies in community, yes. Because other voices are going to press in and help to shape our framework. So, awesome. What else? Read the whole Bible. Yes, exactly. And can I just say, read it, but read it slowly. I know sometimes for me when I've had this goal, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year, I find myself sometimes like, I got to get it done. But reading the Bible slowly will cause us to see things that we don't necessarily, that we would sometimes gloss over because we... The Bible couldn't say that because that's not in my framework, but maybe it does. What are some other strategies we can use?
Pray.
Thank you. That belongs up here at the very top. Pray. Ask the Lord to open our eyes and see what he is really communicating. Awesome. These principles, that we're going to learn. These are going to help us recognize our framework. So employ these principles. One of the things that I have found super helpful, and this kind of goes along with reading slowly, but it's different. When I have found to help me see what's actually in the text, it's really helpful for me to write out the text physically. Because every now and then, I won't even realize the word is there until I've had to write it. Because I just didn't see it because of my framework. So I would say writing out the passage is one strategy that I really find helpful. Another one that's super helpful. Oh, yes, Sian.
So this year I started listening to the Bible.
Oh, yes.
And I have heard things that I've been like, wait, that was in there.
Yes. Yes. You're going to say, did Kristen Getty just add that? Because it sounds so good with an Irish accent. All right, another great translation is using, or another is different, use different translations. Can be super helpful. All right. As I was preparing for our time together, I was spending a lot of time in 1 Peter 2. And I was thinking about my own framework. So turn with me to 1 Peter 2. I'm guessing your Bible is probably, if it's like mine, is opening up automatically to 1 Peter these days. Okay, 1 Peter 2, verse 7. The part of this, the beginning part of this. So the honor is for you who believe. Oh, but for those, oh, wait, no, I'm sorry, it's the second half of verse 8. Well, I'll just read 7 and 8. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Any ideas why that might have pushed up against my framework? What part of this, any of these verses? Yeah, they stumble, that last part of verse 8, they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. So what's the challenge with that? Yeah, how you've got God's sovereignty along with man's responsibility, right? They stumble because they disobey, so they disobey as they were destined to do. So we've got this man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, all in one verse. Now, I suspect that nearly every one of us in this room would lean into one side or the other of that equation, right? We're going to be more comfortable living either with man's responsibility or God's sovereignties. And our framework's going to cause us to lean into one of those. So looking over that list of strategies, how might it help as we're teaching 1 Peter 2? Is there anything that might be helpful for us there?
Read the whole book.
Read the whole book? Yep, that's definitely helpful. Get it in the context of the whole book, that is for sure. Okay, I'll just tell you what I did. I tried a few, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So reading it slowly, writing out the text, I came to the conclusion that, yes, that is actually there. That's what it says. Okay? So then I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll try other translations. It was in every single one. I tried 3 different translations and it was there in every one. So taken together, I had to come to the conclusion that this is what God says in this verse. And so what that means is I have to hold both of those in that tension. I have to live in that tension of, yes, God is sovereign, and yes, man is responsible for his rebellion. We're not going to, when I'm teaching that tomorrow, you will hear what is in the text and not my framework. No more, no less. It's tempting. You know, I thought, well, one side of me is like, I could rush over to Romans 9, you know? Or I could rush to John 10, but this is what Paul said, and we need to wrestle with it. Okay, we've just got a few more minutes. We're going to go to the book of Titus. Now, there aren't very many places in Scripture where women are given specific instructions. So we're going to look at Titus chapter 2. I want you to get together with the women at your table, and I want you to answer these two questions. What are some frameworks that might influence the way women in your church understand these verses, okay? So in your context, what are some frameworks that they might come to this text with? And then secondly, how would that framework influence their application of this passage, all right? Now, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, so you're going to have to work fast. It's just 3 verses, though. Verses 3 through 5. You can do it. All right. All right, ladies. I know that was fast. I'm sorry, but I want to make sure we have a time to work through it. So, what are some of the frameworks that might influence the way women in your church read this text? And then along with that, how would they apply it? Someone want to share?
It says submissive. That's a whole argument in and of itself.
Submissive, okay.
So how, yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
You know, she said that the women in her church seem like they're submissive, but not really, you know. So what's their view of submission?
Right, so their view of...
Don't say anything, do everything.
So what do they bring to the word submission, which is going to be a cultural framework, yeah, for sure. What else?
Whether they're single or married.
Okay, yeah, and how would they apply it then, based on that?
Yeah, like some will be just more hesitant than, I don't know, reading it.
Yep. Yep. Good. Right.
When I got married and my husband wanted me to work, I had a huge conscience.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really big challenge to work through that for me and kind of rethink the...
Yes.
So my complementarian framework.
Yes. Okay, I think that there are lots of women in our context who are struggling with that. So let's go with this example, okay? Complementarian, women can't work outside of the home. All right? That's the framework. So let's employ the strategy of reading the text slowly. Is there anything in this passage, in this text, that might tell you that Paul isn't just talking about a homemaking class or just about women cannot work from home? Is there anything in this passage that would suggest there's maybe more to what he's saying here? Likewise, tell me, let's talk about that. Likewise.
Likewise could be referring to what he just said in the first verses above it.
So it ties it into the whole passage. Exactly. So the context is, in the context, there's some other things going on, aren't there? So let's follow that. Okay. 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 So let's go. Working at home is one of a series of things, but let's go back to the context thing for just a minute, because I think that's important what you're saying, because that's reading slowly is going to help with that too. But let's look at the context. Is there anything in this section in chapter 2 here that the likewise might be comparing it to, that's a little different perspective on what this older woman, younger woman teaching is supposed to look like? What does the men's look like? And it is what's in verse 1, teaching what accords with sound doctrine. Okay, when we look at the book of Titus, Paul is teaching Titus, he's instructing him on how to set up the church. And he's saying, "This, you need elders who are going to teach the men. You need women, older women, who are going to teach the younger women." And it's not just about, from my example growing up, it's not just about how to make potato soup. It's about, I need to learn about this doctrine. Who is God? This is rather than being a submit, stay in your lane kind of text, this is saying older women need to teach women, older, younger women, because they need to know, because they're in the church and it's important what they believe, because they're going to teach the children then. And so this is part of passing on this truths of God's word. And there's a little bit of a, we got there, just we didn't quite get there, but in verse 5, look at the second half of verse 5, specifically to women. What's the purpose of all of this? Yeah. So this is about God's word. This is more than just women, what women should do for a job, or older women wanting to impress their ideas on younger women about how to raise children, or my grandmother who taught me how to make potato soup. It's more than that. So can you see how it's easy for us to look at a text and bring our frameworks with us and sometimes allow the framework to rule over the text, which we don't want. So we want to make sure, as Bible teachers, we are allowing the text to rule over our framework rather than the framework ruling over our text. The principle is we must, once again, we must let the Bible shape our frameworks rather than letting our frameworks shape our interpretations of the Bible.